Okay, so I'm a bit nervous, but this is where I'm gonna start. I got a little activity. You might not initially see where it connects with my message or whatever you wanna call it, but you'll see there eventually. So I'm gonna ask you a few questions, and if that question applies for you, I want you to stand up, take a look around, see who that applies to. So I'm gonna start with something basic. Whose favorite color is green? Go ahead and stand up. All right, okay, next. If your favorite color is orange, go ahead and... All right, who likes to watch sports? Okay, all right. Who in here enjoys playing volleyball? That's pretty much it. All right. Anybody? Is there anyone in here who likes to make music? Make music. Play an instrument. Sing. Okay. Is there anyone in here who has to share a room with their sibling? Okay. Who has more than two siblings? Who ate breakfast this morning? Who has read the entire book of Psalms? Okay. And one last question. Who in here appreciates Brother Steve, Sister Sherry, Brother Chris, and Sister Victoria? Okay, that's it. I do appreciate your little bit of input there. So like I said, initially you might not see what this has to do with anything, but I wanted you to see that even though we are all different ages, different periods of life, from the 13-year-olds to Brother Steve, who's however old he is.
25
plus, right? Okay, so, you know, we're all at different walks in our life, but what I want to share with you guys is an example of how to be a good example. What does that have to do with what I just did? Is so that way you can see that in being an example, it's also often important to reach out to others. Doing that activity shows you some people that you have some things in common with. That being said, maybe somebody you can reach out in that, doing that. And it doesn't have to be an older person reaching out to the younger one. It can be a younger one reaching out to an older one. It doesn't have to be someone in this room. It can be the older saints, the little children. You think about how oftentimes the little babies, they're looking up to the young children, and then, you know, under 10 years, so they look up to our 13 and 14-year-olds, like, wow, look at that go. Look at them go. Look how they get up and get involved. And then our 14, 15, and so on and so forth. You know, we younger ones tend to look up to older ones. But it also works the other way around. When I first got saved, I didn't have any older young people to look up to. When I was in Medina, the only other young people that were there were younger than me. So I really looked up to the ones that I did see. But also today, I look up to some of the younger ones here. I think of Zachary in Cayman Islands. When I was there, he just blessed my heart, let me tell you. He was getting into the services and everything, and I really looked up to him in that. So, different examples that I've seen and that we can be for each other. But, you know, you hear a lot about examples and examples of good Christians in the Bible. You know, Moses, Noah, Jesus, the best of them all. And, you know, the best Christian example that we can have is our Lord, is Jesus. That's who we're, you know, Christian is of little Christ, so that's who we're trying to please. But I want to bring out somebody who is not given a name in the scriptures. We don't hear a lot on the female examples, and I wanted to share one for you. So if you do want to follow along, I'll be looking in Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman. This is a study I actually had finished earlier last week, and then Sister Sherry was like, hey, can you speak? And I'm like, well, I guess so. So I kind of just chilled out and meditated on it for a while. And this is where God brought me. So I'm going to start on verse 10, and I'm just going to go verse by verse and talk about this a little bit. So you think about, so verse 10 says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Sorry, guys, I know you're not women, but you can still get something out of this, I hope. I really hope you guys aren't women. Girls, you can be women. So I was like, okay, what does the word virtuous actually mean? So I Googled it. Virtuous means having or showing high moral standards, good, righteous, moral, and ethical. So basically, the virtuous woman or man is one who has high moral standards and is righteous. And when it says that her price is far above rubies, it goes to guys too, it's priceless. You know, somebody who follows Christ, you know, rubies are very rare. They're a very rare jewel. But someone who follows Christ is even more rare than those rubies are. So we have even more of a priceless value than the rubies do. Verse 11, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Okay, so I was like, spoil, what in the world does this mean? Spoil is to decay, to lose the valuable qualities, to be corrupted. So the husband, or we'll just say the spouse, can fully trust in you if you ever get married. Your family can fully trust in you. Your boyfriend can fully trust in you. Your best friend can fully trust in you. They can come to you and tell you their deepest, darkest secret and know that you're going to do what's right with that. Someone who is faithful. It says that there be no need for corruption. Honestly, if we're in somebody's life, which we all are in the life of someone else, we should not give them any reason for corruption. We shouldn't, if we're dating somebody, we shouldn't give them any room to lust after us, girls. That's why it's so modest, so important that we dress modest. Boys too, you know, you don't want to be running around in no shirt. let's see. Verse 12. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. I thought of, when I was studying this, I thought of the marriage vows. They were love and cherish. And then in the women's, it says love, cherish, and obey. So in that, that says all that it has to say for itself. Someone who's faithful and obedient to the church. Think about Christ is the groom of the church. So all of us are the bride of Christ, whether you're a guy or a girl, sorry. But if you think about it that way, so we should be faithful to him. As long as, if we're a Christian, we need to be faithful to God and follow all of his ways and every guidance that he gives us. And whether he says, go say hi to somebody, go say hi to that person. If he says, sit down and shut up, then sit down and shut up. verse 13, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands, makes use of the things she has. You know, it's kind of like, has anybody in here had a tomato or, say, a loaf of bread, and there was just a tiny bit of mold on one corner, so you just throw away that slice and then continue eating the loaf? Anybody else have that done? Yeah. So it's. I mean, I guess it's kind of that idea in my head. You're just going to take away that bad part, but continue with the good. Verse 14, she is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She to make sure that her people are taken care of. That's what sticks out to me. Excuse me. 15. She rises also while it is yet night, and gives meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. So, in this, it shows that she wakes up early in the morning. Who in here hates waking up in the morning? I hate it. I'd rather stay in my bed all day. I'm not gonna lie. But in this case, it's saying that she gets up. She makes use of her time. You know, as somebody who's lazy and sits around in bed all day, I have to admit I've done it before. You're not going to get anywhere in life. You're not going to have anything done for that day. I'll at the end of the day, when I stay in bed till like 2 in the afternoon, at the end of the day, I'm like, what have I even done with my life? So she gets up and she takes care of things, gets things done as needed. 16, she considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand, she planteth a vineyard. Before purchasing something, it's a really good idea to weigh out whether it's actually worth purchasing, especially if you're on a budget like me. Like, I'll go out and be like, okay, I really like this dress, but it's about like 3 gallons of gas to buy it. I think I need the gas instead of the dress. Weird thinking. I know. It's me. So it's important to make sure that it is worth what you're putting into it. I mean, has anybody in here spent like $500 on a pair of shoes? I'd hope not, because that's a lot of money for just something you're going to wear a couple times. Also, it's important that we take care of the things we have, which is shown in that as well. You think of like a small child or something, a little sibling, or your clothes. You're not going to go around and wear your clothes every single day nonstop and never wash them. You're going to wash them and make sure they're clean and taken care of. Verse 17, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. Excuse me, I cannot talk. I was like, what in the world does gird your loins mean? I spent a lot of time on this verse just to figure it out. So to gird your loins is basically to prepare for battle in the theoretically. Yeah. So in this, the guy would, it's typically a term used for men. They would pull their robes around and tie them around their waist. That way it was more like a pant kind of thing, so it was easier to move around. And in this, we really need to be preparing ourselves for spiritual battles. We have fight those every single day. I know I do. And how do we do that? Read and pray. Listen to messages, church attendance, Sunday school, young people's. Anytime the doors are open, if you're here, you're working on preparing yourself for battle. That's something a virtuous woman would do. It mentions that she strengthens her arms. Guys, who lifts weights? So when you're lifting weights, you're working on strengthening your arms. Eventually, you're going to increase the weight of the weights that you're using, and you're strengthening yourself. You need to do that spiritually as well. Number 18, she perceives that her merchandise is good, and her candle goeth not out by night. Perceive basically means to become aware of or conscious of something, or come to realize or understand. So she makes sure that her merchandise is of good quality. So if you are baking cookies for someone, you're going to make sure that they taste okay and not just give them something that instead of 2 cups of sugar, you put 2 cups of salt in them. That would be pretty awful. You think of if you go off and do some work for someone, and if you're don't finish the job or you don't do it right, you got to go back and fix it. Or if it comes to your knowledge that it's not what they were paying you, like they're like, okay, we're going to pay you to mow the lawn, pull the weeds, and weed eat. And all you do is mow the lawn and nothing else. They're going to come back and be like, okay, what about these other two things? I paid you to do that, but yet you didn't. That's another instance of making sure that you have it done right, perceiving that her merchandise is good. Or anything you do. If there's work to be done, do it. It doesn't matter what time of the day it is. If it's like midnight and you realize that you didn't study your Bible, that you didn't finish your homework, you're going to do it or reap the consequences. On to verse 19. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. A spindle and distaff is basically what they use to turn wool into yarn, so that way they can make other things. So this is basically another instance where this woman used her resources to create products and things around the house. It being frugal, perhaps, or just doing what she can to save the money to make sure her people are provided for. When I say her people, I say her family. But for us, it's our friends, our siblings, our distant cousins in some cases, you know. Just make sure that they have what they need. If there's anything you can do about it. Another point of that is that she works herself. She doesn't just sit around and watch somebody else work. I have to admit, that's my job. I sit and watch people work, and it drives me nuts. But if you're not doing your job in the process of that, that is also really bad. So you want to, instead of just sitting there and saying, okay, the dishes need done, I'm going to watch my little sibling do that instead of doing it myself when it's your chore. Yeah, mom and dad aren't going to be happy about that. So what about our work for the Lord? Verse 20, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yet yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She helps the poor and needy. Those can be her people too. You see a guy on the street who's homeless. I very rarely do anything because it terrifies me. But if it was like a woman on the street who was homeless, I might say, hey, how are you? Do you need a water? If I have something on hand, I could give that to him. I don't usually have anything on hand, but if I did, I could. I should start carrying water for that, right? You think she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. For whatever reason, this verse, anytime I have ever read it, made me think of the Passover, which in my mind, you know, I see the snow as the death and the scarlet as the blood on the door frame, but that's just the image that's in my head. A lot of commentaries will interpret it as that she's not afraid of winter because her household has all that they need in the cold months and are dressed in warm clothes. We think of those of you with a little baby siblings, you make sure that they're covered before they go outside. Shouldn't you do that with yourself? I don't. I'm a bad example on that one. But, you know, that's just another way to make sure that others are taken care of, your family, your friends again. Verse 22, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. She goes out. She's dressed fine. She's dressed nice. She's not going to Walmart in her pajamas or going to work in sweatpants and a t-shirt. She's dressing up, being presentable. People in the world see us in, at least us girls, they see us in skirts and they look at us different, no matter where you're at. And especially if there's a group of you, you want to present yourself in a way that they can see Christ in you. They say, you have long hair and a skirt, you go to God's Acres. I had somebody say that to me once. They just knew that I went to God's Acres because I had long hair and a skirt. And they're like, I know, it's weird. But in that, dress nice, dress clean. You don't want to have a bad name for the congregation because somebody sees someone from God's Acres who's like, ugh, wearing like, I don't know, sweatpants and a t-shirt. And their hair is all messy and greasy and their face is like, because they just got out of bed and ran to Walmart for milk. So, I need mental assistance. If we keep that in mind. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Okay, this literally just means that her husband was a respectable man. But for us, our husband is Christ. People need to see that through us. They need to see that we are married to Christ, that we have that relationship with him rather than we just claim to be a Christian. Because there's a difference. There's a huge difference between a Christian and a child of God. Which one are you? 24, she makes fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. She does whatever she can to make ends meet, to help her family as need be. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. When one look on her, they see someone who is a strong and honorable woman. 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. I actually have part of that verse on my Bible case because it just kind of sticks out to me a lot. She openeth her mouth with wisdom. If we talk and we go out there and we say a bunch of like goofy foolishness, what good is that to us? What good is that to the ones that we're talking to? But if we talk and we're talking seriously about the things of God, if we're talking, I mean, naturally there's going to be conversations that aren't related to Christ. That's just how life works. But in your conversation, if you're legitimate about your conversation, you're not just throwing like really poor choice words in there, people are going to see you different. She is someone who is wise, someone who is kind and looks out for others. 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Basically, she's hardly ever sitting still. Maybe in a church service she would be. But when she has things to do, she is getting them done. She cares about what happens in her home and around her home. Me, for instance, I don't like when non-gospel music is played in my apartment. So, at least I don't care to listen to it. I have neighbors, and that could set a bad example to them when they see me walking around in skirts and long hair with that "Do you follow Jesus' clothes" bumper sticker. They know I'm a Christian. They know I'm a child of God. And they don't hear me yelling and screaming all the time. Now they don't complain either, but If they hear something ungodly coming from my apartment, and when I say ungodly, I just mean not about the things of God, that could raise a question for them. So that's my standard. So this person cares about what happens around her. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. How amazing would it be to get to heaven and God just say, Brother James, you did really awesome in that work, in your work on earth. I really appreciate what you did. Or Sister Shannon, you are such a sweetheart. I'm just really glad about how you reached out to those people the way you did. You really just blessed my work and you really helped my kingdom grow. How awesome would that be? I know, I'm sorry, I'm calling out random people, but you're right in front of me. I'm not even gonna say any more on that. That's enough in itself. Others around her can see that she's different. She's worthy of praise. Like, what is it, Philippians 4 and 8. I'm not going to quote the whole thing because I can't, but in that it says, anything that is worthy of praise, think on these things. People look at that and say, wow, that person's really got it for God. They're really different. That's going to mean a lot to those around you. If you just really have to watch the influence you have. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. This unnamed woman, she's not the only one who does these things, but she's the one who does all of them. This is just an example of the Bible that she is like the best example there was, that apparently, not exactly the best example there was, but she excels the example that many others have set, and we should strive for that. To be the best example that we can possibly be for the ones around us. Her favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. This is huge. So favor basically means the approval, support, liking of someone or something. So say if someone comes in and they just really, like a visitor from another congregation, and they just really like a certain person. They're like, man, you've got it. You've got something great. I want to see you excel really great. That means nothing. It could mean a lot to that person they're saying that to, but really that means nothing. What matters most is God's opinion of you, not the opinion of your best friend or the person sitting beside you. That's why it means favor is deceitful. One should be praised not for what she does, but for her love of God or his love of God. And that's what you want people to see in you, at least me. That's what I want people to see in me. And last verse is verse 31. She give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. So the fruit of her hands, I think, reflect the fruit of the Spirit. Not the board now, but a couple boards ago, we had, what are you producing? The fruit of the Spirit, a nice pretty fruit, and an epically failed mango. And then you had a trash can that was literally spilling out a bunch of random trash. What are you producing? Are you producing the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering? Or are you producing hatred, negativity, all those bad things that negativity happens naturally, but all those things that are against God. And the outcome of her work is praise. She praises the Lord. You know, she doesn't do it for money. She doesn't do it for any earthly thing. She does it just to do it. She does it for the Lord, for his praise in the long run, his blessings. That might have sounded weird, but yeah. So I'm just going to wrap that up. Hopefully, you've all found something in what I shared. Like I said, I know that activity might not exactly make sense in how I connected it, but I did. I do encourage you all to really pray and seek God's guidance in your daily lives. I like to wake up in the morning and say, all right, God, give me your grace and wisdom to get through every part of this day. Wisdom is essential. And I hate praying for patience, so that's why I say grace. But it's really important to get God's guidance in everything you do, even. But you never know just who is watching. Somewhere, every moment of the day, someone is watching you. and you don't want the little eyes to see a bad example. So my prayer for you, and hope your prayer for me, is to be the best example that we can be.